Genesis 3:15 is the gateway to the biblical narrative. Have the right exegesis for Genesis 3:15. Understand that it's all about the seed, Gary's title of his presentation. And guess what? The rest of the Bible just goes click, 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 like that. All of a sudden, we understand what's going on in the biblical narrative. Because three chapters later, these are not the gully line of Seth and the hoochie mamas of Cain. That's total nonsense. That's torturing the text beyond anything reasonable. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he may be preeminent in all things. For in him, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him, to reconcile to himself all things on earth as in heaven. The dragon knows that the Messiah is going to come and crush his head. And finally, when Abraham is tapped out of your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That's Messiah. The seed of the dragon comes to fulfillment in the promised land. You've got the seed of the dragon and the Nephilim tribes, and then the children of Israel. Out of those 12 tribes, one will come who will defeat the dragon. They chase the tribes out. There's a diaspora, and the Nephilim are all over the earth. I'm on the trail, okay? But going back to Colossians, the enemy, nobody in this universe could figure out that God would die. God dies. The body is in the tomb. No doubt the body's in the tomb. The spirit and the soul go down to Tartarus and preach to those angels from the flood. No jailbreak. I just got the keys. It's checkmate. It's over. I won.
Welcome to the Days of Noah podcast, where we talk all things biblical, supernatural, and strange. Today, Luke and I are privileged to host the one and only L.A. Marzulli. Wow, this one has been on our list for quite a while to get L.A. on. He has done so much work to connect the biblical narrative to the supernatural phenomenon that we see around us with the Nephilim and UFOs and abductions and all of these things that LA connects to the Bible. These things are important to understand, and much of the church is asleep to these things, and we're going to be unprepared for what is to come in the final days. We hit on quite a few things with this conversation with LA, the connection of UFOs and abortion as a blood sacrifice, opening doors to evil supernatural entities to have more influence on our world. We talk about Israel, false Jews, hybrids walking among us, unrecognizable and yet shape-shifting right before people's eyes. LA gives us some insight into his walk with the Lord after these many years that he has been a believer. We talk about the sleeping church that is just not awake to this Genesis 3:15 and Genesis 6 narrative that is the gateway, as L.A. puts it, to understanding the biblical narrative. We talk about Jesus' authority over these fallen entities, over abductions. At the name of Jesus, there is no higher authority. Honestly, guys, this hour went by way too fast with LA. We are so thankful that we could have him on the show and look forward to doing it again. As always, guys, please remember to follow us on your favorite podcast platform and take a moment to give us a 5-star rating or leave a positive review. All those things help to get the show out to more people. And if you enjoy this podcast and you want to spread the word to others about these important conversations, do send a link to your family and friends, your pastor, your coworker. Tell them about the Days of Noah podcast. We just want to help prepare the world for the deception that is occurring and is continuing to occur in the final days, the last of the last days. as L.A. Marzulli puts it. So with that, let's get started with our conversation with L.A. Marzulli. L.A. Marzulli, we are privileged and honored to have you with us on the Days of Noah podcast. It's really a great honor because, you know, we hold you and the late Michael Heiser and others in such high regard because, you know, I think you said it yourself when you came across that IDE Thomas book, Omega.
That's a game
changer.
Yes,
Omega Conspiracy, that I think you came across in 1990, you said. That you are standing on his shoulders. And that was the introduction to this topic. And Luke and I say the same thing about yourself and Dr. Heiser and Russ Dizdar and others. So yeah, it's a privilege to get to chat with you and pick your brain on some topics. So yeah, pleasure to have you.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me here, guys. It's an honor. My honor.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, all good.
Well, one of the things that we were discussing in the intro was kind of where you got started. Pete, you kind of mentioned it there a second ago. L.A., do you want to share your experience up in Ohio with Russ Dizdar and Mound?
It's actually the Great Circle Mound is where it was, the Great Circle Mound. But the backstory here is this. This is years ago, and I had already written the Nephilim Trilogy, which was published by Zondervan. The last book was out. I thought I was done. So I wrote a book called Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, which is out of print, and we're considering doing an edit, but I'm just, there's only so many hours in a day, doing like a second edition, because it's a very timely book. And other people have used that title, you know, but I digress. So I'm headed to this conference in Ohio. And, you know, I didn't know where I was going. I was going to a conference. And my battle buddy, Russ Dizdar, calls me up and goes, L.A., do you know where you're going? I go, Russ, I'm going to Ohio. And he starts laughing. You had to know Russ. He had, when he starts laughing with that little secret squirrel laugh, you know he's got something on you. You just know. So, you know, I go, I don't know, I'm going to Ohio. And he goes, you buy a computer? I go, yeah. He goes, Google Fallen Angels in the Ohio Valley. You know, the Nephilim Chronicles.
Fritz.
And I go, what? Yeah. And he goes, yeah, Nephilim Chronicles, Fallen Angels in the Ohio Valley, Fritz Zimmerman. I Google it. Not only do I order the book instantaneously, but I'm reading the PDF. The next morning, I've got 5-6 hours, and I'm reading that book basically in one sitting, just devouring it. And now I'm at the conference, and I finished the book. I'm trying to get a hold of Fritz, who's impossible to get a hold of. And I talked to my driver who's taking me from the hotel to the venue, to the conference. And I go, you know, do you know where this Great Circle Mound thing is? He goes, oh, yeah, it's right up here on the right. We've been going by it every day the last couple of days. It's up here about a mile. So I'm looking out the window. I'm in the back seat. I'm looking out the window. Sure enough, the Newark Earthworks, there it is. And I go, is that it? And he goes, yeah, that's it. I go, look, I've got free time from about 4 o'clock on. You know, it's all free. Why don't you drop me off here at the end of the conference tomorrow, which is Sunday? He goes, sure. So the following day, it's Sunday, he pulls into the parking lot. Luke and Pete, there's nobody there. Nobody. Their place is empty. I start walking up this asphalt pathway. It's about 4 feet wide. To the left of me is this huge mound of dirt. I know what it is because I've read Fritz's book, but I don't know what it is. And I get up to the top. I look to my right. There's a museum. It's closed. There's nobody there. Nobody in the place. Not a soul. And I turn to my left, and I begin to walk into the gate to the circle. Even now, as I'm telling it, I'm feeling, you know, it's unbelievable. And I'm in the entrance, poised in the gateway, and I'm hyperventilating at this point. I'm like this. And I don't even know why. And my eyes, I'm frozen in time. And my eyes are like darting around like this, looking, taking it all in. And it's one of those, it's one of those moments where they're extremely rare. And they don't happen to everybody. And it's a total Holy Spirit thing. You can't orchestrate it. You can't make it happen. It's It's breathed from the throne room to the person. And I realized as I was looking around at frozen in time and hyperventilating, I was looking at the rest of my life. That's probably circa 2011. 2010. I'd have to go back. Russ would know. Maybe Fritz would know. 2009. It's back there. And I realized I was looking at the rest of my life. And then what was amazing, this is what came out of it. On the trail of the Nephilim. And all the DNA evidence and the elongated skulls that you see behind me. This all came from that one moment. And, you know, off the air, we were talking about part of me wants to disappear and, you know, but I can't. And I know I can't because I know the Lord is, and it's all him. I mean, you know, let me digress again, if I may. I remember reading the first time in the book of Revelation where the elders around the throne room are throwing their crowns down. You go, what are these people, nuts? You know, this is all they're doing is throwing their crown. I get it now. At 73 years old, I totally get it. It's like, get this thing out of here.
I'm not worthy to have this on my head.
Why is this even here? I mean, I get it. You've crowned me, but I mean, I know who I am. I'm here only because of everything that you've done for me.
That's great.
End of story. I mean, I can't express that enough. And he's given us favor and favor and favor throughout the years. There's been tons of attack. And I guess that's why in some ways I'm weary. I get really tired of being slammed. But, you know, the Lord has me up pretty much every night. Now, it's not like clockwork, but it is like clockwork. It's pretty much every night or between 1 and 3. And I'll protest like crazy. I don't want to do this. You know, and that lasts, you know, maybe 20 minutes. And I finally go, okay, uncle. I sit up in the bed and I recite all the scripture that he's led me in. And it's like resetting the computer at 2 o'clock in the morning, starting the new day, setting the computer. And at the end of it, at the end of all the scripture, the whole thing takes about, if I'm really awake and sharp and I don't have to repeat, because the Holy Spirit will have me repeat stuff. You didn't do that right. Go back and repeat it. I mean, seriously, it's just like, okay. So, you know, I'm repeating stuff and at the end, I sing this one worship song. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. You know, my weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. And I'll raise my hands even now. I mean, I'm worshiping. And it's like I'll feel the Holy Spirit's presence come over me. And that sets the day. That sets the day. And then other times there's like, you know, he'll get me up and it's like, look at this. Look where you were. Look what you're doing. Need to repent. So, you know, and the one song, and sometimes it's like, you know, this is all real personal stuff, but I'm like super ticked off. It's like, I don't feel like doing this anymore. You know, just like I said, you know, I'm done. I'm done with the attacks. I'm done with the ad hominem attacks. I'm done with the people thinking I'm crazy and all this stuff. I'm done. And, you know, and I think the Lord kind of gets a kick out of that, you know, kicking against the goads type of thing on some level.
Yeah, but then he gives you that anointing, like you said, in those wee hours of the morning, and he re-energizes you.
One more day.
I want to ask you, since we talked about Russ Dizdar and your experience up there, in your book dealing with the disclosure, 70-year cover-up, you talk about a lot of great subjects, but Russ Dizdar dealt with some dark issues. You've dealt with that with a lot of the abductees that have become impregnated. I wanted to maybe if you could speak to about DUMS, about the hybrid, because obviously this is current event stuff that the enemy is building an army. And I just
there's no doubt.
Yeah, I just wanted because we've gone through a lot of the basics, but this is kind of more advanced stuff of what's going on. And the church is really asleep on this.
If I could add to that, Luke, in L.A., just maybe if any insight on the Black Awakening, of course, that Russ learned about from all of these. But yeah.
It's happening. It's happening right in front of us. We can see the entire culture shifting. We can see ourselves poised on the verge of World War III. I also do believe that there will be a nuclear event which will trigger everything. Because you get a nuclear event going off anywhere on the planet, that creates the greatest collective fear that humanity has ever experienced in the history of the world. And that's where it's all going. It will happen, in my opinion. There will be a nuke that will go off, and that's when we get mile-wide UFO craft showing up at the same time that the rapture is happening. So we go up, you know, we go up into the cloud, and then out of that cloud comes a mile-wide UFO.
So you feel like the rapture and the what they're going to blame it on, where we went,
exactly,
is going to disclosure is going to coincide.
Yep. And there's your great deception. And everyone will believe a lie. I mean, it's like there was a saying I came up with years ago: we go up, they come down. We go up, they show up. Well, Mondo Gonzalez and Jeff Van Hatten took that and then went back and realized when Elijah goes up, Elisha watches him. He just doesn't disappear. When Jesus goes up, we know that the disciples are there, but I'll put 100 to 1 odds that Mary and Mary Magdalene are right there. They're not missing this for all the gold on earth. They're not missing this event. They're there, and who knows how many others are there. They watch him go up. He doesn't disappear. Where does he go? In the clouds. When the two witnesses, and again, this is Mondo and Jeff Van Hatten laying it all out. And when the two witnesses are killed and they're on the streets of Jerusalem during the tribulation, then they're resurrected. The entire globe watches them go up into the cloud. So it's like, is it really that, you know, that far of a stretch to think for a second that when, you know, the rapture of a church goes up like this into the cloud, then guess what comes down? There it is, right there. Yeah. Right there.
The saucer.
There it is. And everybody goes, well, you know, the Space Brothers are here. They, you know, they're going to stop the nuclear holocaust. They've turned off all the ballistic missiles, which they've done before. And they've got rid of the people who are fundamental and aren't ready for the big paradigm shift. And by the way, they created E.T., our Space Brothers, created all life on this planet. They genetically manipulated early man, started the world civilizations, the world's religions. Now at this critical juncture in human history, E.T. is back to usher mankind into a golden age. Nonsense.
Yes.
These are not the Space Brothers. These are the fallen angels masquerading as E.T. And it's complete 100% delusion. Now that's conjecture on our part. But you know what, guys? I talked to Mondo about this. I said, you know, all of a sudden my work on the Fatima apparition makes so much sense, because in 1917, when that apparition happened, what happened was people were 70,000 people in the field waiting for something, waiting for the sign. Been raining all day. All of a sudden, the clouds part, the sun's in the sky. Guess what? Guess what? A cloud comes in front of a sun. What does that sound like? And out of the cloud comes a what? A spinning disc. You know, this is, how do I know that? Because the eyewitnesses, who Father Fierro, the parish priest, handwritten testimonies. I looked up and saw a dull silver disc. I looked up and saw a spinning disc. I looked up and the disc was throwing out all sorts of light. I mean, it came out of the cloud. That's the point. It came out of the cloud. Chase Klowski, in one of our films, I forget which one it is, you know, UFOs hide in the clouds all the time. So you got this whole thing going on with the clouds. And I just think it's very interesting where we are on the prophetic timeline. Let me add to that. When you have what's going on in Israel, and basically Israel is at the point where she stands alone, and we realize the rise of the anti-Semitism on the planet, every anti-Semite's come out of the woodwork in the last, you know, 162 days or whatever it is since October 7th. And they will go into Rafah. They've already started. And once that's done, they will go in to Lebanon and Syria. Lebanon, Syria. And the question is, how much will it escalate? Iran is no one standing down. The Iranians are not standing down. There's a picture I show at my conferences, which is very recent. It shows the three major players in the Ezekiel 38 scenario for the first time in modernity, all together on the same stage. Putin and Russia, Erdogan from Turkey, and former President Raisi from Iran. What's unbelievable about this is Iran is Shia. There's the Shia Crescent. And Turkey is Sunni. but they have the enemy, and the enemy is Israel. And for the first time, you could, because this vitriol between Sunni and Shia goes back 1,300 years, for crying out loud. There's no happy, warm feeling between these two sects of Islam, but they're on the same stage with Putin. Those are the three leading players in Ezekiel 38. I watch this comet coming over. Everybody's freaking out. Okay, I get the whole Nineveh thing, but you know, cool heads prevail. You know, you gotta wait and watch. You don't know. We don't know what's going to actually happen with Israel, but it's not going away. It seems to be escalating.
Yeah, and
so it's like, what are we really looking at here?
Yeah, and since we're on the topic, I mean, you have the Temple Institute bringing the red heifers over. They're pushing for that. You know, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is the Khazarians. And I was actually able ahead time at work today to re-listen to Dr. Laura Sanger's chapter on the Edomites and the theory of that coming out. And it seems to me, if I'm gathering it correctly, it seems like that is like a false Jew, you know, synagogue of Satan kind of thing, where it's not from the line of Jacob. And you know, is that the sect that's basically, you know, running most of Israel and pushing for this third temple, or is that something separate?
Completely separate. Okay. The whole Khazarian thing. I've been debunking this thing since it raised its ugly head. The whole Khazarian thing is a construct that it's sort of like the Protocols of Zion, which came out in the early part of the 20th century. It's and I remember sitting down with Dan Gordon years ago in our Watchers series talking about the Khazarians. And what most people don't understand, yes, the Khazarian, and Mondo wrote a wonderful article on it in the Prophecy Watchers magazine about it, debunking it also, that in the entire Middle East, in that area, there has always been a Jewish presence, always, since the diaspora 2,000 years ago. Yes, the Khazars were there at some point. I get that. But to say that all these Jews are Khazarians and the whole synagogue is Satan thing is completely turned around. It's completely lifted off. And they say that, these aren't really the Jews. So here's the bottom line. And I throw this back at the argument. Hitler had no problem figuring out who the Jews were. Absolutely none. Absolutely none. That's why 6 million of them were slaughtered, were killed. Absolutely no problem at all. And the Balfour Declaration, when that happened in 1917, you started to get this influx from Jews coming out of where they had been exiled to, specifically Europe. But at the same time, they were moving in from what is the old Ottoman Empire. See, people don't understand that the Ottoman Empire controlled that whole area. The modern nations of Iraq and Syria and Jordan and Lebanon and Palestine were all carved up out of the Ottoman Empire. Egypt got its independence finally from the old Ottoman Empire, you know, decades and decades later. This is all 1917. So the idea of the Khazarians, and these are not the Jews, it's a false argument. It's a red herring because it makes no sense at all. And these are the Jews, by the way. This fulfills prophecy. If it's like people who say that this isn't it, they don't understand the prophetic. I will regather you from the four corners of the earth and reestablish you back in your homeland, never, never to be removed again. 1948, 1949. I mean, we're here. And then Trump moves the capital, moves the embassy, declares Jerusalem the eternal capital of Israel. I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. And the 67 war. You know, what happens? They regain the Temple Mount. They regain the old city. The time of the Gentiles is over. Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is over. They finally take the old city. I mean, you know, this is why prophecy is so important and the church ignores it. So you get these goofy things like, with all due respect, you get these goofy things like the Khazarian legacy, and these aren't the real Jews. It's like, oh my gosh, you just want to scream at this.
What do you say to like what is Zionism? Right? Is that something false though, or no? Is that, because I hear that dichotomy between Zionism and like a true, you know, Orthodox Jew.
Well, I mean, you know, what is Zionism? Zionism, the idea that, you know, Israel has a right to the land, that Israel, you know, this is Zion, which is all throughout the Tanakh and the Old Testament. I mean, you know, what is a Jew? You've got all these different facets of Jews. You've got secular Jews who don't believe in a God. Why would a loving God allow the Holocaust? I get that. Yeah. Because they don't understand that, you know, I mean, this is the 3-hour conversation.
Right.
Messiah comes from a land from the tribe of Judah. Messiah comes from the Jews. There's no doubt about that. Absolutely none. The tribe of Judah. Well, when we go to Genesis 3:15, the dragon knows that someone from the seed of the woman, the offspring of the woman, will come and crush his head. And this, the dragon seed is trying to go after the woman. 3 chapters later, Genesis 6, this is our wheelhouse.
Yes.
You know, the whole world is tainted. The image is completely corrupted. They use Doug Hamm's title of his fantastic book. It's pizza. It's over. And only 8 people get along that ark. But still, from the seed of the woman, the proto-evangelium, the Messiah, does come. And we know what happens. Here's something to think about. And no one ever talks about this. Look. When you go to Colossians and you read, he is the first, he is the head of the body of the church, the firstborn from the dead. He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he may be preeminent in all things. For in him, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him, to reconcile to himself all things on earth as in heaven. The dragon knows that the Messiah is going to come and crush his head. And finally, when Abraham is tapped out of your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That's Messiah. What happens a few chapters later? Why does Pharaoh wake up on a Monday morning and go, got to kill those Jews? Who's talking in his ear? And then 400 years? 400 years. Why? Because the seed of the dragon comes to fulfillment in the promised land. You've got the seed of the dragon and the Nephilim tribes, and then the children of Israel. Out of those 12 tribes, one will come who will defeat the dragon. They all meet. It's mind-boggling when you look at this like this. Mind-boggling. They're all there. Okay, so we all know the story. They chase the tribes out. There's a diaspora, and the Nephilim are all over the earth, and I'm on the trail, okay? But going back to Colossians, the enemy, nobody in this universe could figure out that God would die? Well, that's not going to happen. God can't possibly die. And that's why the enemy's going, he's going to come down from the cross. That's why Mary and Mary Magdalene and John, they're all sitting there, okay, looking at the watch. He's going, but he's going to come down. We all know it. You can't kill God.
Right.
God dies.
Yep.
God dies. The body is in the tomb. No doubt the body's in the tomb, okay? The spirit, this is why he's fully God and fully man. I still don't, my mind reels with this. It does. It's unbelievable. It's mind-boggling. So body's in the tomb, no doubt about it. The spirit and the soul go down to Tartarus and preach to those angels from the flood, no jailbreak. I just got the keys. It's checkmate. It's over. I won. How do we know this happened? Because we have the Shroud of Turin right here. Mm. There's the face. That's what he looks like.
Yeah.
I can't even look at him. Sorry.
Oh, wow. No, and that's, and thank you for bringing it back. I did want to ask you about that too. And, you know, kind of what's going on with the Temple Institute pushing for the sacrifice in the temple and the rebuilding. But no, I mean, even where I was thinking of starting is, because you bring it up often, Genesis 3:15, everything hinges there. And Luke and I often say Genesis 6, but I think you might take precedence there going back 3 chapters. Genesis 6 is an outgrowth of Genesis 3:15, right?
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And apologetically, This is what drives me too when we talk about these topics. I don't know if you had a chance to see the pic that I attached to the email yesterday, but this was from an antagonist on Twitter. He says, millions of Christians believe that killing a human embryo is murder, but slaughtering Canaanite families in God's name was just fine. And I replied and I said, this is why we need to understand Genesis 6 properly. And I would add Genesis 3:15.
Absolutely.
And it's one of our podcast's main objectives, to set the record straight. We got to have better answers for these things. and our seminaries are not teaching it.
And they never will, because you want to keep the one thing that tells you exactly the gateway to the biblical prophetic narrative. The gateway to the entire Bible is Genesis 3:15.
Yes.
I stand on Gary Stearman's shoulders. Gary Stearman was the first man, the first person I ever heard. It was at a Nephilim Mounds conference. Russ Dizdar and I are there. Chief Joseph Riverwind is there. Fritz is there. We're all like this. Because we knew Genesis 6, but we didn't know Genesis 3:15. And Gary illuminated that. Gary just shined the light on that. I always give Gary credit, because that's Genesis 3:15 is the gateway to the biblical narrative. Have the right exegesis for Genesis 3:15. Understand that it's all about Bessid, Gary's title of his presentation. And guess what? The rest of the Bible just goes click, 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 like that. All of a sudden, we understand what's going on in the biblical narrative. Because three chapters later, these are not the gully line of Seth and the hoochie mamas of Cain. That's total nonsense. That's torturing the text beyond anything reasonable.
Yes.
The seed of the dragon, Genesis 3:15. Adam and Eve are here. The dragon's over here. Adam and Eve have just sided with the dragon, with Satan. Oh, we got
There's the balloons. I was waiting for that.
There it is right there.
I love
Thank
it.
You. Appreciate it. And Jesus says to the dragon, your seed, your offspring, will be at war, at enmity with the seed, the offspring of the woman. The proto-evangelium, the one coming from the woman, will crush your head. You'll bruise his heel. That's it. Three chapters later, Genesis 6, the seed war erupts. Eight people get upon that ark, and God tucks them in, closes the door. That's a type of rapture. Before the judgment, they're rescued. When Lot, a few chapters later, before they can bring Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction, Lot is removed. That's the rapture. So between Genesis 3:15, Genesis 6, the Tower of Babel, Nimrod becomes Gomorrah, ritualistic sex magic, he becomes Nephilim, he confuses the language. Then Abraham and the kings, what happens there? Same deal, Sodom and Gomorrah. Finally, we get to the conquest of Canaan. Who were there? Who are they? They're these guys right here. And this is why the mandate comes down. They don't have souls. They don't have souls. And there they are. This is the elongated skulls from Peru. We did DNA testing. We were the first people to do DNA testing on it. See the foramen magnum? It's all the way in the back. That's genetic. You can't manipulate this. It should be here.
And I remember you did one thing in one of your videos where you filled it up with rice and it was 40% greater volume. You're not going to change the volume by headboarding.
No, you're not going to change the volume of the skull. Yeah. This is genetic. This is a remnant of a Nephilim, in our opinion. To your critic who talked about, you know, abortion versus the inhabitants of the land, that person is completely and utterly ignorant. However, I will say this. When I got there 44 years ago, I stopped reading the Old Testament.
Right.
I didn't understand it. It's like this God of the God of the Bible and the Old Testament, Jesus I get, but this guy is capricious, malevolent. He favors one tribe over another. He's genocidal. No way. I can't do this. And you're right. The moment you factor the Nephilim in and you realize the seed war from Genesis 3:15 and that these entities that are there in the promised land are genetic aberrations, the commingling of the seed, and they are soulless. How do we know? They're soulless. They're absolutely, they have no soul. They are not human. That's where the mandate comes down. They are in a fixed state. They are sexually deviant. They are cannibalistic. These are some really bad dudes, bad dudes. So, you know, I'll sit down with the guy. I'll go one-to-one with him. You ask me anything you
want. For sure.
You know, but our DNA evidence proved, right, that these guys originated from the Middle East, from the Baltic Sea, from Eastern Europe. And that rewrites history as we know it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the academics don't like it because it rewrites history and it proves the veracity of the biblical prophetic narrative. But I had a molecular biologist come up at a conference recently, and about a year ago, actually. And he said, L.A., I just want you to know something, that your DNA work has set a ripple through academia and the scientific community. No one will talk about it. No one, you know, at the water cooler, it's the whispers. No one, oh, I don't know anything about that, because they'll lose their job, they'll be laughed at, and everything else. But, you know, if I'm wrong, then why hasn't, you know, some other university gone down and done the DNA testing too? We did 58 samples out of the 28 of them sequenced. Out of a 28, I think like 18 or whatever showed a Middle Eastern. Eastern European connection that rewrites history.
Yeah, well,
oh, it's all
they don't want to do it for the same reason that, you know, a pharmaceutical maker doesn't do certain tests, because then they can legally and truthfully say, we did not find any X, Y, and Z. Well, because your studies were designed not to find X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. You don't care about the truth. All you do is care about,
yeah. So what have you seen? Cause you've said this many times, and it's obviously in the intro of Blurry Creatures, you know, the truncated view, supernatural view of the church and the church being very despondent. What have you observed from Christians, from the church, that just so shows they're just utterly out of touch with this supernatural worldview of the Bible?
Let me tell you another story. I was a music director at the Malibu Vineyard years ago, circa 2004. I mean, my wife would know all the dates. I'm horrible with the dates. But I know her birthday, June 4th.
There you go.
So, I win that one. But as the music director, my job was to get there very early in the morning on Sunday, open the doors, turn on the air conditioning, turn on the lights, turn on the sound system, get the music straightened up, you know, get everything ready to go. So I get there at 7, 8 o'clock. The musicians show up. We rehearse. We do the service. So at the old Malibu Vineyard, which is now City Hall, by the way, but that's another story, and I'm getting ahead of myself as usual, there's a covered walkway, which is probably about 50 feet long, 40 feet long, something like that. So I park my car. I get out. I'm walking down the covered walkway. I'm going, something's not right here. In front of the doors, there's something going on. And as I get close, it's about a 4-foot circle with a pentagram in the circle with 4 candles are burning. And in between the candles is a slaughtered dove that's been decapitated. That, my friends, was a ritual done against the church. 3 months later, that church split, one of the worst splits I've ever seen. They lost the building 2 years later.
Wow.
The pastor was dead 2 years later. The head elder died within months of the thing, and 3,000 people were completely displaced. So I sat down with another pastor in Malibu. He's fairly new here, for lunch. And I told him the story as a warning. And he said, are you trying to tell me that there's a coven of witches that are responsible for this? And I looked at him and I said, that's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. That this place is a hotbed of supernatural stuff, and a lot of it ain't good. A lot, and just look at, you know, you can, and basically I was shined on, you know, the guy, with all due respect, and I like him, we no longer go to that church because they're amillennial,
right?
And, you know, it's a seeker friendly church. And so you're never going to get there, in my opinion, but people want to go there and tithe into it and feel good. That's their business. Was there anything about Israel talk last week? Was there any corporate prayer? Was anything happen? Did the Holy Spirit show up? Did the people actually wait on the Lord for like a minute or two? Or are we just going to sing some songs? We don't call it worship anymore. We're just going to sing some songs. Oh, really? Well, yeah. Guess what? I'm going to sing my way right out the door, and I'm never setting foot in this place again. He knows what I do, as do all the pastors in Malibu. They know who I am. They know what I do. I've never been invited. One church in Southern California in the last 15 years invited us. This January, we went there and we spoke. 70 people showed up, which is okay.
Yeah.
We gave 110% because that's what we do. But there's this complete disconnect from the church. And let me close by saying this, and what is happening. In the halls of Congress, David Grush, a whistleblower, appeared, along with Commander David Fravor and others, talking about the UFO phenomenon. And Nancy Mace from South Carolina, Representative Nancy Mace, asked David Grush, did you retrieve crashed flying saucers, crashed UFOs? Yes, we did. Were there any pilots? Were there any bodies in this crash? He looks right up at her and goes, yes, we retrieved biologics. So she goes, were these human or non-human biologics? He looks right up at her, non-human biologics. The church is not only asleep.
L.A., what year was that? that Q&A?
This is this year.
This year.
This is right. This is this year, 2024.
Wow. Would you add any rungs to your disclosure?
Late 2020.
Your rungs of disclosure.
That's my new book.
Would you add it? Would that be one of the more recent ones you would just?
It's one of the more recent ones, but it's not the most recent one. General Admiral Ryder came on the record 2 weeks ago stating that this is the most conclusive evidence we've ever had. There's absolutely no evidence of any of this stuff. Go home. And I just wrote a whole chapter. It's like 5,000 words on this debunking line by line by line. This is the biggest bunch of hooey since 1947 with Roswell telling us that this whole thing is a weather balloon. And this admiral, with all due respect to this man, how can he get up there and basically bald-faced lie is beyond me. So he's dismissing Commander David Fravor, who stated on the record in Tucker Carlson in 2017 that we looked at this thing, whatever it was, this tic-tac-shaped object was not from this Earth. Luis Elizondo, we've retrieved metal from crashed UFOs. We've tested it. The isotopic ratio is not found on this planet. Christopher Mellon comes on. The Pentagon has crashed UFOs. There is a crashed retrieval thing. The Pentagon leaking from the – it just goes up and up and up. Cattle mutilations, abductions. I mean, it's all there. It's all like this. And so what this is the old guard pushing back and going, we got to put the lid back on the, you know, on the thing here. Put the toothpaste back in the tube. And it's over. It's never going to happen. But it's – what amazes me is the truncated view of the supernatural that the church has. In fact, I recently spoke down in Arkansas. And again, you know, I speak at a lot of like in Jupiter last year, we spoke in April. And we're going back in April again to speak at Calvary Church in Jupiter. Well, there were upwards of 600 or 700 people on a Friday night at that conference. It was just me. I was the only speaker. So that was an incredible turnout. At Church of His Presence, you know, we had a packed house last time I was there. And you got to get me back there.
Yes.
Go up to John and poke him. Give him a little poke.
We'll get Dr. Robert Rodich to put in a word for you, too, because he's buddies with John, too.
There you go. But I started off on Sunday morning telling the Sunday morning, because I spoke Friday night for like almost 3 hours, then all Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, Q&As, and then Sunday morning I did the service. And I looked at the congregation. It's like, okay, so let's walk through this. We're the people who believe in the virgin birth, men walking on water, water that's changed to wine, water that stands up as a heap and allows 3 million people to cross it, men that are raised from the dead. I mean, talking donkeys. Yep. There you go. I mean, do we really believe this stuff?
Exactly.
You know, do we really believe what's in the pages of this book? Or do we just have a form of religion and deny its power?
Amen to that.
And unfortunately, we are in, you see, that everybody wants revival, but nobody wants to do what you need to do to get revival. You need to get out of the way. How do you get out of the way? You have a worship service, right? Or you preach the word, and then you have a worship service. And then you quiet everything down and you just wait on the Lord. You just shut up, get out of the way, just shut up, get out of the way and let it settle and just see what the Holy Spirit will do. He will show up. When was the last time you were in a service like that? Well, LA, actually never. That's my whole point.
You know, I think it was one of Russ Dizdar's teaching that he said, a demonized person said, or the demon said, we don't care about most churches. They're not a threat to us. The ones that we don't like rely on the Holy Spirit and have discernment.
Yeah.
And you got to have both, because otherwise it could be a false spirit if you're relying on the Holy Spirit and you don't have discernment. So you got to have both. Maybe with the time we have left, I want to circle back to what Luke said at the beginning of, you know, you've used this term a lot on different interviews, last of the last days. And kind of what you see with, like Luke said, the rungs on the disclosure ladder, what's on the horizon this decade, this year. But previous to that question, maybe if we could just touch on the UFOs, since that is one of your areas of expertise. I know a couple things that Tim Alberino has mentioned. Number one is that people are being targeted because of family history of abductions, and also maybe dabbling into like psychic things, that sort of thing. And then the other thing that he has said is, and I would love your opinion on this, is that the idea that you can invoke Jesus' name to stop an abduction, but he has said that it's kind of, and maybe this is the UFO fog that you termed, that it is an amnesia that's put on them. So they only remember being picked up and put back down in the bed, and they think that Jesus, calling out Jesus' name, stopped it. So maybe kind of just real quick touch on, you know, who's targeted and why, and then what's your opinion on being able to stop the process?
There's definitely generational ties here. There's also blood types that may be more advantageous to the breeding program that's going on. So Tim and I have a disagreement here, and we don't, you know, and that's fine. Tim's a great brother. Yep. We've been on several adventures together, and it's all good. But I do believe that a person, a Christian specifically, when they call out, when Karen Wilkinson calls out the name of Jesus, it stops the abduction. When Al Matthews calls out the name of Jesus, it stops the abduction. So, I mean, I've gone, and that's why we did the film on abductions, yeah, because we have four people who were abducted, and this started with Al and Emil and Karen when they were just 5, 6, 7 years old, really young. And when Al finally got a hold and got born again, Al Matthews, it stopped the abductions. Same thing with Karen. Hmm. It stopped the abductions. So respectfully, I disagree with, okay, Tim. It's not a magical potion. Tim's argument sometimes is, well, what about the Christians who were beheaded on the shores of the Mediterranean? That's not the supernatural world, right? That's ISIS. Okay. It's a whole different deal. You're dealing with fallen angels and the demonic in a supernatural realm. That's where Jesus works. It's a different deal.
That's a good point.
And you know what? Sometimes when you evoke the name of Jesus, you cry out and say, Jesus, help. In the natural world, he will show up. A perfect example is that when we took the implant out of Emil,
yes,
right? And it was gone. We didn't see it. Now, we're in the natural, but we're dealing with something supernatural, the implant that was put by them. One prayer changed that whole deal. We couldn't find it for an hour and 20 minutes. All of a sudden, bam, we took the implant out, and there it was. Something supernatural happened. The Lord showed up. So, look, I don't have all the answers. Tim doesn't have all the answers. None of us do, which is why, you know, we respect each other's opinions, and we keep going, keep researching, keep looking, keep trying to figure out, you know, all these. Like I say this jokingly, I said, you know, when was the last time anybody sat down with Beelzebub and asked him 10 questions
about
this?
Tell me how it works.
Ain't gonna happen.
Yep.
You know, not on this side of the millennium.
Maybe
once they're all in jail.
You have a chapter in, Luke was reading the chapters of maybe that book he held up earlier on the abortion connection to UFOs. Can you touch on that for a minute?
Okay. There's 1 billion aborted babies since Roe v. Wade. 1 billion with a B. So I can't get my head around that. I don't know what 1 million people look like. 1 billion? No idea.
Yeah.
No idea. But I can tell you what 1 billion people looks like. So we're up at the North Pole, the Arctic Circle, and we go over to Anchorage, Alaska. Then we go over to Toronto, then Los Angeles, then Washington, D.C., then El Paso, then Mexico City, then Lima, Peru. Finally, we're all the way down at Tierra del Fuego at the bottom of Argentina. Guess what? From the Arctic Circle to Tierra del Fuego, there's not one person. Not one. Not one. That's 1 billion people. Not one. Hmm. Not one. Do you understand that?
Unpack that a little more.
Yeah. There's not one person.
So you're saying on this side of the hemisphere, from North America, South America, there's not 1 billion people. You got to go over to Asia. Are you talking about numbers?
No. Numbers. We have 1 billion people in North America and South America and Central America.
Oh, that adds up to one. I'm sorry.
People. That's why you're going back and forth. There's not one person. Not one person is there, because 1 billion people, that's what 1 billion people looks like. So abortion is a blood sacrifice. Now, you can tap dance around that. I've seen the forensic evidence. I had a woman who was studying to be, you know, doing her internship, and she showed me the pictures of what aborted babies look like. They basically go in and tear it limb from limb. And you think this is okay somehow?
Right.
Somehow this is a good thing? There's a blood curse on the land. The enemy thrives on blood. There's always blood worship. Blood is always used in sacrifice. Think of Moloch.
Yes.
Think of anything. This is why the spirit of Baphomet is raging over this planet. This ties into the whole gay movement, the whole transgender movement, the whole mixing of the genders. It's all Baphomet. It's the spirit of the age. Head of a goat, body of a man, breast of a woman. I mean, it's a chimera. Not only is it a chimera, it's neither male or female, it's both. And this is exactly where we are. These are the days of Noah on steroids. On steroids. You can't even make this stuff up anymore.
So what is the blood sacrifice connection then to the UFO?
Opens the gateway. Okay. Opens the gateway. Mm. Allows them to manifest in ways that we've never seen.
Okay.
UFOs are all over the
place.
And
is that, in your opinion, did we see an increase of UFO after Crowley, Parsons, Hitler, that sort of era?
It goes up like this.
Because of the blood that was shed during that time as well.
Absolutely. It just, you know, the whole Foo Fighter thing at the end of World War II, everything just goes up like this. And here we are in modernity. This is the coming great deception. They will appear. I already told you the thing with the rapture and the UFO coming down. We go up, they show up. We go up, they come down. We're here. We're in it.
So what?
And it you know, go ahead.
So I just want to circle back to Luke's point there at the beginning. Yeah, what do you see these days and on the horizon with Satan's army, the Black Awakening, you know, the disclosure increasing? What are you seeing now? What is your sense? What is your wisdom, the Holy Spirit discernment say about these last days?
I think we're very close. Yeah. Very, very close to something. I lean very heavily towards Ezekiel 38. Cool heads may prevail. The whole thing may settle down, but I don't think so. When you get Queen Rania from Jordan saying on the record, this is Jordan. Jordan has a peace treaty with Israel, or Jordan and Egypt, right? Saying that Egypt has won October 7th. We've had 156 of them. Saying that, you know, it's somehow it's okay for 1,200 Jews to be slaughtered and sexually, you know, raped and mutilated and everything else. Somehow that gets a pass. But to go in and defend ourselves and go in and get Hamas, these people are crazy. By the way, Gaza is the one place where the Jews, the armies of Israel, never conquered.
Right.
Just think about that. They never took that. And guess what? The spirit of the Nephilim is all over that place. Am I saying Hamas are the Nephilim? Absolutely not. But that principality and what happened on October 7th is unconscionable. And the fact that Queen Rania can stand up and say something like that and it gets a pass on the world stage, are you flipping kidding me?
Yeah.
Have you forgotten about October 7th? Israel was at peace. They were completely, you know, it was unbelievable. And what they did was an atrocity. So I think that it's the place to watch is once they clear out Rafah, they will go north. They absolutely will go north. And every day on the border of Lebanon, they go at it. Right now in northern Israel, over 150,000 people, Israelis, are displaced from the northern towns and cities. They're displaced. They're living in central Israel. So no farming, no industry, no schools, no nothing. So Israel already is at war. This ain't going to work. They can't go back to the north because every day Hezbollah is launching missiles, launching, you know, mortar, whatever. This is what's going on. They will go. And Damascus is already on the table. I believe Damascus will be completely destroyed, but I could be wrong. And that's why we wait and we watch. Do I see Ezekiel 38? That's what I see forming. I see Ezekiel 38. And Iran, Turkey, and Russia are in it up to their eyeballs. The fact that Putin is saber-rattling with nukes, people go, oh, he's not going to do anything. You don't think so, Mad Vlad? Are you out of your mind? What does he have to lose? He's already getting up there. He's got all the toys he wants to see.
He just got reelected.
He just, yeah, sure he did.
LA, let me ask you. So how do you think the breeding program that's the enemy's using, whether it's the stuff that Russ Dizdar's, the SRA or the UFO abductees that are pregnant and then they're not pregnant, and the cattle mutilation, they're all dealing with genetics. It's all dealing with, a lot of the time, the reproductive area or even fetuses themselves. How do you think the enemy is planning to use this type of, you know, are they building an army? Is it part of the UFO deception?
Yeah. The late Chuck Missler, when I asked him that question years ago, said, Satan's out number 2-1. He's building an army. It's exactly what's going on. The hybrids are walking amongst us. I mean, you know, for your folks, look, I have an hour with you. We have right now, there's 8 films in our UFO series. Everything from Close Encounters of the First, Second, Third Kind, Abductions, Cattle Mutilations, Crop Circles. I mean, it's all there. Roswell 1, Exoneration, in a debris field. We're in the debris field. We're digging down 6 to 8 inches. We find pieces of the metal. We've had the metal analyzed. Streaming.lamarzulli.net, or, you know, go to the website, lamarzulli.net, or lamarzulli.com takes you there now, too. We just purchased that. So, I mean, there's 8 films. And my business partner, Gil Zimmerman, flies down tonight. We're going to put 9 and 10 to bed, and that'll put a bow on it. My new book coming out this year, The Rungs of a Ladder of Disclosure, talk about all this stuff. I mean, people need to be armed. It just amazes me how I can go on shows like this and you know, the next day you would think, well, maybe we'll get 2 or 3 sales. Most of the time it's flatline. Yeah. It's just mind-boggling. So people perish for a lack of knowledge. Yes. Why do you think I really want to be doing this? We talked about this off air. Are you kidding me? You know, we're poking the bear constantly. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I look to the Lord in his strength. You know, for the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen me and protect me from the evil one. And I have to walk in that.
And if we don't talk about it in shows like this or in the behind the pulpit, in the churches, and hear the truth, we're going to believe the lies on Fox News, Twitter, what the media is going to feed us, which we know are going to be lies. Long.
And what Hollywood's been preparing us for in the predictive programming with movies like Prometheus and others, right?
Yeah, all day long.
Yeah.
All day long.
No.
Wake up, church.
It's, wake up. Yeah. No, absolutely. We need to keep studying, and we're just, again, we're appreciative of you and Russ and others, and standing on your shoulders and continuing these conversations. Luke and I were inspired by Blurry Creatures to start this show because we were like, these are important topics. Before you go, and you did start plugging, and I want you to do that a little bit more before you leave, but just press you for an anecdote on walking among us. I know you have, I think, that Walmart story, but any other story on just how embedded these hybrids are among us?
There's one story. I mean, you know, I don't go looking for this stuff, but people do email me with their encounters. So this gentleman is a contractor, and he's going to lunch. He's in his pickup truck. He's driving. His friend's in the passenger seat. They go to window 1. They order their fast food. They go to window 2 and pay. The woman hands the guy the bag, hands it to his friend like this. He looks up to get the second bag. The bag's, you know, he's got it. She's handing it to him. Her face changes right in front of him. It becomes an alien right in front of him, a gray right in front of him. They look at each other. She knows she's been outed. She covers her face and runs away from the window. He looks at the coworker. The coworker's like this, like that.
So this,
it's happening.
This was a gray that a moment before had a face as recognizable as
like
you were.
Human.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't go looking for stuff. I mean, I don't go to Walmart at 2 a.m. and look. And Lord knows this. I am not interested in seeing anything. I'm not. I don't go looking for it. I don't skywatch. I am not interested at all. You know, I know it's there. You know, I was invited up to go see Bigfoot. I mean, this husband and wife, they're in an undisclosed location. They interact with these beings all day long, you know, and I just said, no, thank you.
Yeah. Playing with fire.
I could go up there tomorrow, but I will not do it because unless the Lord tells me to,
right.
I just right. will
No. That's the key.
Look, guys, you know, the enemy knows our weaknesses. The enemy plots a strategy against us. And that's why every morning, like we talked about off air, I wake up, I recite scripture. What does it do? What is our sword? What is the sword of the Spirit? Is the word of God alive and active, sharper than any double-edged swords? It penetrates between soul and spirit, doesn't it? You know, it discerns what the truth is, the actions of the heart. I mean, it's the word of God. And it's, you know, and like I said, I'm sleeping. I'm trying to go to sleep. You know, it's like in the beginning was the word, and where it was, oh, sorry, Lord. You know, and the word was God. He was with God from the beginning. All things were made by him. You know, and what am I doing? I'm taking my sword, standing up and resetting the computer here. I'm washing myself with the word. I'm washing myself. I'm preparing myself for the day. And then I go back to sleep for a couple of hours and get up and, you know, I'm good to go. Yeah. For the most part.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we need that, that living water and that daily bread, man. And you're right. I mean, the enemy is going to set traps for us too. I mean, even just in talking about topics like these, it's really easy to just let the fleshly side go. Oh, let me tell me the next little anecdote. You know, it's almost like juicy gossip. But, you know, we got to do it for the honor and glory of the Lord and not jump into battles that he isn't directing us in too.
Yeah, I don't like I, you know, I've learned over the years, and hopefully, you know, I'm, you know, just where I'm supposed to be. And that's it. But, you know, if people are interested, lamarzulli.com or lamarzulli.net, streaming.lamarzulli.net, streaming.lamarzulli.net. You know, for the price of a cup of coffee, you can watch the Roswell film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, you don't even have to buy it. Like, you can rent it.
What are you guys waiting for? You know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, fantastic. No, that's definitely on my list. Honestly, I just keep thinking about, I just need to be independently wealthy so I can have all the time in the world to just study Russ Dizdar's stuff, study your stuff, you know, Chuck Mizler's. I just want to absorb it all. But even doing this show just gets me digging in. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's no end to it.
Yeah.
I mean, there is, it's deep.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just hope that, you know, I'm not a rapture date setter guy. I never have been, never will be. But, you know, we could be going up soon. All the signs are here. You know, I mean, how bad does it have to get before he shows up and takes us out of
Yeah,
here?
What's and that? I don't know if we'll make it this long, but what was that? Like a Time magazine cover, 2045, the year man becomes robotic or machine. AI. Man becomes machine.
Singularity.
Yeah.
Not gonna do it. Not gonna get
yes.
there.
Yes. Well, this was awesome, L.A. We'll...
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
We'll have to try to do it again if you're
scheduled. Get me back to John's church.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, totally. Totally. Oh, thanks, LA. Appreciate it so much. God bless you and your family.
Live long and prosper. Take care. I'm a musician. I was a worship leader for 25 years. If you had told me 44 years ago when I came to the Lord that I'd be doing what I'm doing now, I would have run out of the room screaming. No doubt.